Thank you, choir. Those are a couple of my favorite songs, and I appreciate that. There's a great story told of an elderly couple who were out on a road trip, and when lunchtime came around, they stopped at a diner. When they were through eating, they got back on the road, and about 20 minutes out, the wife said, Henry, I hate to tell you this, but I left my glasses back at the diner. It was another 5 miles down to the next turnoff, and so all the way down to the turnoff and all the way back, that poor old man just kept grumbling and grouching about the whole thing. He said, "Oh, woman, I think you've slipped a few cogs in your old head. You're aging right in front of me. I can't believe you do something so stupid." And he just went on and on and on. He just would not let up. Finally, they got back to the diner, and the woman got out of the car. She made her way towards the door of the diner, and when all of a sudden the old geezer popped his head out the window and he said, "Hazel, while you're in there, you might as well get my hat and credit card." The problem with getting old is that all too often you feel like you're out to lunch. You hurt, you forget things. You keep doing things you should have given up many, many years ago. Every day is filled with this journey of ills and pills and wills. And the worst part of it all is this storm of emotions that goes on between your ears. There are feelings like feelings of uselessness. You know how it is through the years. You've done it all. You've made things happen. You are the kind of person that raised a whole house full of kids. The kind of person that ran the farm or presided over a bank or operated a business or built bridges and highways. You're the kind of person who waited on your patients at the hospital. You were the kind of person that held your church together and kept it strong through the years. And now that they've had the retirement party and you are wearing the gold watch, sometimes you wonder if you're just not needed anymore and it doesn't feel good. Then there are those feelings of guilt. You look back on your life and you think of all the stupid things you've said, all the stupid things you've done, the glaring mistakes that haunt you day after day. And just wish you could go back and do things over again. You think, oh, how much better things would be in my marriage or with my kids, in my profession, in my walk with God, if I could just go back and do it again. I think this emotion is captured well in the poetic lines that go like this. Across the fields of yesterday, he sometimes comes to me, the little lad just back from play, the boy I used to be. He smiles at me so wistfully when once he's crept within, it's as though he had hoped to see the man I might have been. Then there are those feelings of bitterness and resentment. Let me tell you, brewing your brain in rancor is one of the dumbest things you can do. Skip Gray tells us that bitterness is the poison we swallow while hoping the other person dies. Ann Landers tells us that hanging on to resentment is like letting someone you despise live in your head rent-free. And William Walton tells us that to carry a grudge is like being stung to death by one bee. Bitterness and resentment are toxic. I can't tell you how many friends I have who are growing old, fast, way before their time, because they refuse to forgive. And then there's one more emotion we struggle with in our old age, and that is the feeling of fear. The fear that our money will run out before we do. The fear of being left all alone. The fear of losing our independence. The fear of failing health, the fear of dying, the fear of dying without dignity. As they say, growing old is not for the faint of heart. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, how are we to grow old gracefully? How can we maintain our equanimity through this all? How can you live each day with meaning and purpose and resolve? And most important, how can you keep your walk with God going strong when your frail legs are about to give out under you? The answer is tucked away in our passage for today, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, and I invite you to follow along with me. In verse 1, it says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them." Solomon is telling us here something really important. He is telling us if you want to finish strong, then you've got to live strong. And he's telling us here, do not hold back. Do not hesitate. Grab life by the throat. Live it to the full. He is telling us here, do not wait until your acne clears up. Do not wait until you get your degree from college. Do not wait until you've married and raised a house full of kids. Don't wait until you achieved your fame and fortune. Do not wait until you retire. He is telling us here, as early in life as you can, make the all-important connection with the one who gave you the gift of life in the first place. And then as we move into the passage, it's like Solomon suddenly turns into an artist. He pulls out his easel, he pulls out his paints and his canvas, and he begins to paint a picture of an old house on the hillside at sunset. Follow along with me, please, here in Ecclesiastes 12, when he says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the window grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred, then the man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember, remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it." Solomon pictures life. He pictures the old house here as the life that we experience, especially in the latter years, where the skies are heavy and the clouds block the light of the sun and the moon and the stars. There's a gray haze to this photo, this painting. It's kind of like the banks of fog that roll in between our ears, and it gets to the place where we just can't think with the same alacrity that we used to. We just go fishing for all the right words to say, and we have a hard time snagging the good ones. Then he goes on to describe what's in front of the house. The watchman at the gate, this stately gentleman who once stood tall and kept everything under control, and now he just quivers all over. He's describing a great surgeon who once could hold a scalpel with a steady hand and make a nice clean incision, and now it just shakes with Parkinson's. He's describing a great singer who used to pack out the opera houses across the land with a magnificent voice, and now it has grown thin and it shivers in the cold. He's describing men and women who once could hold their head high with pride and dignity, and now it just nods all over. Then there are the pillars that have held this house up. Kind of sounds like our legs, doesn't it? These legs that used to help us run and skip and jump and dance. These legs that carried us through the war years in Europe and Korea and Vietnam. These are the legs that enabled us to carry our sleepless babies up and down the hallway all night long, trying to calm them. The legs that took us through the rounds at the hospital. Legs that enabled us to take those backpack trips through the Canadian Rockies. Now these old legs, they're stiff, crippled up. They don't carry us like they used to. Then there are the grinders. I don't think you need a crash course in Hebrew to know what that's talking about. My dentist friends would say that we've got a problem here with malocclusion, which is a fancy way of saying the uppers don't quite meet up with the lowers. And we get these chunks of food in our mouths, and we try to grind them, chew them the best we can, and after a while, we just give up and gum the whole thing down. There's a great story told of a young father who went to the grocery store to get the family shopping list taken care of. And when he came around the corner and was heading down the aisle of baby food, he noticed an elderly gentleman carefully choosing little jars of strained this and parade that. And trying to be friendly, he said to the old man, "I bet it's great to have the grandkids visiting you for a few days." The shocked man looked up and he said, "Sonny, they're not for the grandkids. They're for me." I'll tell you, as you get older, it's harder to eat, isn't it? And come to think of it, it's harder to get ready for bed, too, because you got more and more things you got to take out and put away. The next thing that we notice in this old house are the windows that are growing dim, like our eyes grow dim. The cataracts glaze over our eyes. We start moving into thicker and thicker glasses. We transition from bifocals to trifocals, and we wonder if the day is soon coming when we will be totally blind. Then there's the grinding mill down the way, and the birds singing in the trees, and the growing reality we just can't hear like we used to. The frequency range becomes diminished, and the man who once could catch everything, the sound technician that got every note dead on, exactly right, just can't hear those higher frequencies anymore. Some of you know what it's like to have every sound exaggerated. It just echoes in your head, and going to a church potluck just drives you crazy. You can't do it anymore. Or the train rumbling down the tracks is enough to give you a coronary. Solomon then goes on to describe the phobias we develop. Fear of heights, fear of falling, fear of getting hurt. And as a result, the old ladder stays leaning up against the wall in the garage, and the apples don't get picked. Every once in a while, we'll screw up the courage and we'll drive a mile or two into town to get a few groceries. But the rest of the time, we stay home. There is no way we are driving into the city on those 3- and 4-lane highways because they are nothing but death traps. Out in the front yard, there's an almond tree shimmering with its silver petals. And after a while, we say, kind of like what's on top of our heads, if we're so fortunate to still have hair at all. And the whole thing is enough to leave you stalled in front of the bathroom mirror, wondering if it's time to just let it go. Just let it go silver, become the silver fox, or time to make another Walmart run for a bottle of Clairol. And on the front lawn, there's a grasshopper sitting there in the grass, dragging itself along. And you know how it is. It just takes longer and longer to move yourself from one place to another. That quick dash into the convenience store takes longer than it ever did. But you know, you do the best you can, hobbling along with your cane, shuffling along in your walker. Then there's the last one on the list. What's going on in the bedroom of this old house? Or better said, what's not going on in the bedroom of this old house? It says here in verse 5, Solomon sighs and he says, desire is no longer stirred. Aren't you glad that's the last thing on the list instead of the first thing? There's a cute story told of a little girl who went to visit her grandma. She's all full of fun and excitement and life. And she said, Grandma, I'm 6 years old. How old are you? And Grandma said, I don't want to talk about it. Come on, Grandma, you could tell me. I'm 6 years old. How old are you? And Grandma said, I think you should go upstairs and play while I fix lunch for us. Grandma got a pot of soup warming up and made some egg salad sandwiches, and things were unusually quiet upstairs, and she wondered what was going on, so she went upstairs to the master bedroom, and there on the king-size bed was little Gracie. She poured out Grandma's purse. Everything was scattered around her, and in her hand, she was holding Grandma's driver's license. She said, Grandma, I got your driver's license, and I know all about you. I know you are 68, right? And Grandma says, well, yes, I'm 68. And Grandma, you know what else I know about you? When you were a little girl in school, you got an F in sex. Oh, I tell you, as you get older, so many times, that's the way you feel about life. You're getting an F in that subject. The libido just isn't there like it used to be. But here's the good news. For healthy marriages with a positive attitude, you can keep the love and the romance going for a long, long time. In verse 6, Solomon returns to a familiar theme. He says, Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken. Most commentators will agree that this is a reference to a stroke, a tragic moment when the little clot works its way up to the golden bowl and lodges itself in the brain, and all the important connectors are severed. The brain says to the body, turn on the light, or reach for the knob of the radio, and the body just refuses to respond. And then there's the ultimate. The pitcher is shattered in the spring, the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. There comes that moment when you reach the end of the road, the heart gives out, the brain waves fall flat. They put us in the box and down into the ground, and there we rest in our dusty beds until we receive our wake-up call on the resurrection morning. So in these poetic lines, Solomon paints a graphic picture of life. He pictures an old house. He tells us that the old house is like our lives, because like those old houses, our lives, our bodies wear out, don't they? Like the old house, we have weathered the storms of life. And like the old house, the only thing that's going to hold us up and keep us strong is a personal relationship with Jesus. That's why he keeps telling us here, remember your Creator. Remember the source of your life. Remember the one who has kept you going strong all these years. Remember the one who has promised to take you to a place where we never grow old. So until we get there, you can be sure of this. He will give you the ability to move through life with grace. The grace to navigate the tough chapters of life, the tough highways of life, the grace to accept the realities of change. He will give you the grace to keep going strong. He will give you the grace to grow in the seasons of life. A long time ago, there was a young man who had a conversation with Longfellow. And he said, Mr. Longfellow, what I want to know is this. How do you stay so spry in your old age, and how do you manage to continue writing so eloquently? Longfellow pointed to the apple tree out in the front yard, and he said, my life is a lot like that apple tree. That apple tree is old. I mean, that apple tree was there when I was born. But I'll tell you something, I've never seen that apple tree bloom more beautifully than it has this year. You want to know the secret behind the apple tree? Every year, it puts out some new wood. And it is on that new wood that the blossoms come. Young man, he said, every year of life, I try to grow some new wood. So that's my encouragement to you today. Grow some new wood every single day. Invite Jesus to be at the center of your life. Sink your roots deep down into him. And when you do that, your life will blossom and you will bear rich fruit for all of life and eternity. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for the encouragement that we have received from your word here, because getting old ain't a lot of fun. But through it all, we pray that you'll give us a positive attitude, keep us growing strong, Keep us open and resilient. Most of all, keep us growing in your love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.